There's a green bloom of cyanobacteria on Lake Erie again. This is the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams. People who run water utilities and scientists are watching the bloom because the cyanobacteria can produce a toxin that's unsafe for people and pets.
Latest reports show that most of it's either on the west coast of Lake Erie, up along Michigan, or moving its way through the center part of the lake.
That's Chris Winslow. He's the director of Ohio Sea Grant and Ohio State University's Stone Laboratory. He says the bloom's covering about 10% of the western basin. Winslow says the size of the bloom depends on the amount of rain that flows down the Maumee River in Ohio between March and July.
We are anticipating a bloom somewhere between, you know, a 7 and an 8 on a scale of 10. I would say we have not reached a biomass or a bloom of that size yet. And that makes sense, given the fact that the temperatures have been fairly cool over the last couple of weeks, and we've had some pretty windy days.
He says the blooms need somewhat calm waters and hotter days to set up. But he says cities like Toledo that have water intake pipes in the lake are staying on alert. That's because the blooms can grow through August and September and even into October. Climate change is expected to make these toxic blooms of cyanobacteria happen more often. Steve Chapra is the lead author of a new study about this. He's the Berger Chair of Civil and Environmental Engineering in the School of Engineering at Tufts University, and he joins me now. Hello.
Hi.
What we're mainly concerned about is a toxin called microcystin, and that's what made Toledo's drinking water unsafe to drink in 2014. Why are cyanobacteria expected to do better in a warming world?
Well, I like to think of them as the cockroaches of the water. Cyanobacteria are the oldest photosynthetic organisms on the planet. So they're responsible for why we have oxygen. But they have an over 3 billion year evolutionary history. As such, they've been subjected to cold temperatures, the warmest that the planet has ever seen, and they've adapted to it. So they are very resilient organisms. And in particular, compared to other phytoplankton, they have the tolerance for the highest temperatures.
What are you predicting could happen with these blooms in different parts of the country over the next century?
First of all, it's going to increase everywhere, okay? But everybody sort of knew that. If you look at our paper superficially, you might think, well, so, duh, you know, we know that they do better at the high temperatures. But that's only part of the issue. It's also related to nutrients, as you know, from the Great Lakes. And so what happens is climate also affects precipitation, wind, other factors, which have an impact on the export of nutrients from farmland and urban land. And so what our model allowed us to do was to show the fact that, for example, look at the Midwest, where you are, and then contrast it where I am in the Northeast. Where you are, basically you have really great farmland. And so, you know, if you're in Iowa or something like that, they have row crops. And so a place like that, if there's higher precipitation due to climate change, you're going to wind up having more nutrients wash into the system. And in that system, the temperature is making more cyanobacteria. Well, the nutrients are compounding that, right? So that's why one of the things that we noticed when we did our maps was the northeastern part, and it's really like Michigan, Ohio type of a deal, and then down into Iowa, are going to be extra. You know, there's going to be extra there compared to places like New England, where we're cooler for the first place because we're higher up. And agriculture left our part of the country many years ago.
Steve Chapra is the Berger Chair of Civil and Environmental Engineering in the School of Engineering at Tufts University. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks. It's been a pleasure.
That's the Environment Report. I'm Rebecca Williams.